2 Corinthians chapter number 3. We appreciate everything that everyone is doing. I'm not sure that you're able to see from where you are everything that's going on, but people are working in this church all the way from the school to the daycare, to the youth group, to the Sunday school, to the care circles, to the end time class. It just goes on and on. And I am so thankful for all of the wonderful workers we have in this church and all that God is doing. And I'm so excited when we inject about 500 more visitors in here. It's going to be truly exciting what God is going to do. Right now, though, I believe with all my heart God has something special for someone tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God bless you. Please be seated. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Exodus chapter number 33. Because the great man Moses, that man that gave us from God the law, he is in this 33rd chapter. He stands in his tent door. The cloud of glory engulfs him. And the Bible says that God spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. In a while, the glory cloud lifts. All of Israel returns to their duties. Moses returns to judging Israel. But before we reach the end of the chapter, Moses is back in another prayer time with the Lord, and he says to the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I will warn you one thing about visiting God's presence. You will want to go back. I have been so grateful to the Lord as I have watched the touch of God come on our young people. And I have seen God's Spirit do some things to them that none of us were able to do to them. Because they have tasted of something. And even when they're out there being teenagers again, flipping paper wads, and doing all the things that teenagers do, even when all that is going on, there is something that continually influences them once they have been in His presence. I've noticed a change in the school atmosphere. I've noticed a change. And it's a change that cannot be produced by mere discipline or mere regimentation. But when you get around this altar, and I'd like to say to all you parents, make sure you leave your young people time after service to stay at the altar for a while. Don't quickly take them home. Because something happens here that is supernatural. And if they ever go beyond that first veil, and if they ever go beyond that second veil, no matter how far they roam, they'll never forget that there really is a God. And you really can have an experience with Him. I'm speaking to you tonight from the subject, another glimpse of His face. This passage says, we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image not once and not twice, but from glory to glory. Moses stood there engulfed in that cloud. That experienced past. Back to daily grind, business as usual. But before the chapter is over, he's back, knocking at God's door again. I need to see your face again. I need to look full in your wonderful face. Because there's something about looking in your face that brings me peace. There's something that transforms me. There's something that happens when I look in your face that makes me want to be holy. When I look at your face, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Lord, I need another glimpse of your face. I was moved to tears tonight when the quartet sang, because I knew I was preaching about Thomas this evening. I felt like their song was ordained of God for this service tonight, and I felt like it confirmed that this is not just another sermon this evening, that God is trying to say to every one of us here, if you will just see me. The old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. You know the story. Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared for the first time behind closed doors. Now, just to make sure that we really are impacted by what we're talking about here tonight, the disciples stood and watched him die. They witnessed it with their own eyes. They watched him say, it is finished. They watched his chin slump to his chest. They watched the color drain from his face. And they watched the little rivulets of blood that had been spurting every time his heart beat. All of a sudden, the spurts stopped out the nail prints. The side quit running. And he died. They had not seen him since that day. However, they're hearing that someone has seen him, Mary. She met him in the garden. And she comes and gives the report, and to some of them it fell upon their ears as idle tales, the Bible says. However, while all of this was being discussed, 10 disciples actually, sitting around the table, and all of a sudden, he walked through the wall. And they looked at him for the first time since he said it is finished. They looked. Now, they had gone through incredible emotion swings from then until now, because they had built their hope, the Messiah, the King of Israel. It's time for the yoke of Roman rule to be thrown off. It's time for the kingdom of God to be established on earth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And all of their hopes and dreams were wrapped up in this face. And now he's dead. And they didn't know what to make of all of this. Disappointment, confusion, disillusionment. I left all to follow him. and then he died before my face. But Thomas was somewhere doing something. He was not there. When Thomas gets back, they all start telling him. 10 people tell him. Thomas was apparently a little bit stubborn and hard-headed. Because even though all 10 disciples agreed, Thomas said, "I'll not believe it. I think all of you are hallucinating. I'll not believe it until I put my hand in his side, until I feel the nail prints." 1 week later, this time all of them are there. All 11 are there now. Of course, Judas is dead. They're all there. And one more time, Jesus comes through the wall. And this time, he doesn't look at Peter. He doesn't look at any of the other John. He goes straight to Thomas. He said, "My hands, my side." And Thomas fell to his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Let me ask you a question. What do you believe? When Thomas grew old, what do you believe he talked about over and over again? He told his children. He told his grandchildren. "Grandpa Thomas, tell us one more time." And he tells them the story. "Oh, I was hard-headed. I didn't believe what they told me. But when he walked through, he didn't look at anybody else. He came straight to me. And it dawned on me, he knew exactly what I had said in private. Because the fact was, he had been there all the time. He just hadn't made himself visible." You know, Jesus is there all the time. But sometimes we need to behold his face. And Thomas, the longest day that he lived, he remembers looking in Jesus' eyes when he said, "Thomas." And Thomas drank that in. And I don't believe he was ever the same after that. I'm talking to you tonight about everyone here. I'm not preaching about Thomas tonight. I'm preaching about you and me. I'm preaching about another glimpse of his face. We are all changed into the same image from glory to glory. Can you imagine if you saw Jesus face to face tonight? Some people get excited about the president. Ronald Reagan came to Richmond, Indiana one time. I happened to be driving down through there. He was at 8th and 9th and Promenade. And I was driving down through there. Couldn't get through. They had everything blocked. So I parked. I went up there. And they had that thing orchestrated. They had a band playing. And it'd make your hair stand. There was an atmosphere that was created by just the appearance of a man. And it was an interesting experience. I've been invited to go to Washington, D.C. and actually possibly meet with President Bush. I didn't. It was going to cost a lot of money to do that. And I didn't think he wanted to see me that bad. It would be okay if he were going to be somewhere in town. I'd probably go if I got a chance to. But I'm not talking about George W. Bush tonight. If I knew Jesus, if I could see him face to face, if it was Paris, France, I'd be on the web tonight checking my frequent flyer points to see if I had enough. Near Mary Beth one. Because I have a feeling, Brother McFarland, if I could look deep in his eyes one time, don't think I could ever be the same again. I'm very happy to tell you we can. The Bible says we can. When we come into His glory, that's the reason. When the glory moves in the church, you should not sit it out. Because that's when transformation becomes available. Remember what the Bible says? Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Don't wait to repent when the move of God comes. Do it when you know you should do it. Because the glory cloud is going to sweep the house. And when that comes, it's going to convert you. It's going to transform you. When you enter the glory cloud, and when you catch another glimpse of His face, He's going to clean you up all over again. You're going to remember why you come here every service again. You're going to understand why you do what you do. Because when you get a glimpse of His face, it'll transform you. Forever and forever. Saul of Tarsus, walking down the road, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. And as he walks down that road, all of a sudden, he saw his face. It was the second time he had seen it. The first time he saw it in the face of Stephen. The Bible says Stephen's face shone. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And that look haunted Saul. I am convinced Stephen's the one that won the Apostle Paul to God. I am convinced of that. When he had rocks bouncing off of his head, and the gash was open, and the blood was spurting, and he looked up with no hatred, no retaliation, no animosity. They were hurting him. They were vile. They were throwing rocks. And they ultimately killed him. And while he was under this incredible, vile, hateful attack, the face of Jesus showed itself. I don't believe he could have showed the face of Jesus if he hadn't have seen it often. But I believe Stephen knew what it was like to be changed into the same image from glory to glory. And I'm so glad to tell you it can happen in this service tonight. I'm telling you the glory cloud will come down here tonight. One more glimpse of His face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. You know the rest of the story. Damascus Road. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He looks up and he says, who are you, Lord? Later on, they were saying that Paul was an apostle. He said, have not I seen the Lord? I saw Him down on the Damascus Road. And it took me from being a persecutor to an apostle. Let me tell you, young folks, something. I don't care how stuck you are in sin right now. Looking at His face can change you from a persecutor